Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Moon Harbor Horrors, Issue 2, Such a Lovely Place. On the cover, we see a tall hotel, seemingly in the middle of nowhere. Lush greenery surrounds it, and it seems to shine with incandescent splendor. We turn the page, and our story begins.
So I know we mentioned some character ideas earlier in the chat. Does anyone have anything like solid?
Yeah. I looked at the character creation stuff, and I've come up with kind of what I wanted my character to be. His name is Mincemeat, or Terry Jackson.
Yeah.
Terry is the nickname. born Mincemeat Jackson. He is a time-traveling insurance salesman, and he sells insurance protecting against futures that, because he is a time traveler, he knows will not happen. But the last time he did that, he accidentally butterfly effected a flood into existence in a place that he sold flood insurance from. And so he is staying at this hotel to run away from claimants on an insurance that he has no way of paying out.
Amazing. So I assume you're playing as a guest in the hotel?
Yes, he is a guest at the hotel.
What are your traits?
He is practical, stubborn, and solitary.
How long have you been a guest at the hotel? Did you just get here, or have you been here for a bit?
I think he's been there for a few days.
What do you miss the most about where you're from?
A feeling of risk and adventure that, you know, that he does kind of miss, but at the same time, the relative safety of the hotel is pretty nice.
I can't wait for Mincemeat. Jacob, tell me about your anomaly.
For whatever reason, the name is the one thing that I never prepared and I didn't realize until this moment, but they're that 13-year-old rich kid who is always... Oh. You see in every upscale hotel, they always look like they're fuming. They've always got headphones on. They're always being slightly rude and dismissive to anybody they can be. You know that they have far too many hot takes about Batman. there's this quality to them where it's like this almost affluenza kind of element to them. That they are this intrinsic part of the ecosystem of tourism.
Interesting.
Hell yeah.
Can I pitch you on the name Cody?
Sure. Yeah. The cross in my mind was Sweet Life mixed with the worst possible real world version of that.
Yeah. See, I feel like this is very much like a real but also heightened version of what those kids would actually be like.
Yeah, exactly.
So... I'm going to ask some other questions there. What sights, smells, and sounds commonly herald your appearance?
Smell is always going to be that multi-layered sweat spray on deodorant,
Great.
Even though I could afford better, I'm always using Axe body spray kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds is always the audio through headphones around the neck of whatever they are watching. So if you hear the muffled audio airing from headphones, from overpriced but not very good headphones, you know he is soon to be here. There's no real sight that I can think of him that really heralds him. There is another sound, though, that I should mention, which is there's the constant cracking of knuckles or joints. Constant, like, popping sound.
Hell yeah. Next question, which member of the staff is not afraid of you? And here you can come up with a staff member.
Yeah, I figured that the person who's least afraid of me would be the concierge at the front desk.
Oh, that's who I was planning on playing.
Oh, shit. Well, then you can tell me if you disagree then, but I had figured this person is so universal to the experience that they're more jaded. That you would be more jaded to me than you would actually be scared of me, where it's just like another one of these assholes, than it would actually be than actually afraid.
Yeah, no, I'm down for that. Do you envy the guests or see them as your enemies?
I envy them to a certain degree. But I resent that I envy them. Mm. So they aren't. It's not mutually. They're the two things there aren't mutually exclusive.
Cool. And finally, you have three traits.
It was cold, possessive, and uncanny.
Oh, yeah. Cody is terrifying.
Yeah.
Finally, my character. I will be playing Angelica Divina. She is a trans lady. She is Latinx. She's very, like, round and sweet and has, like, a very caring aura about her. But she's also very no-nonsense. And she has been here a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
How long? You know, a while. She'll always say, like, yeah, a while ago. A long time ago. How did you become employed at the hotel? She had a shitty home life. And she escaped from it and ended up here. Was here a guest for a while, but then she just felt she needed something to do. She needed to be, like, a purpose, so she kind of embraced this whole hotel where you can't leave. What part of the hotel do you refuse to be in alone or at night? I think she refuses to be at the bars. I think she... And she doesn't really explain why. She's just like, I wouldn't hit the bars alone or at night. It's not very conducive to a good experience. Whether that means that there's something there or it's just shitty, who knows? And what do you do in your downtime? I think she knits a lot. She crochets. She does a bunch of craftsy things in her room. One guest left a gunpla kit once, and she tried to put that together. Anything with her hands. And her traits are kind, empathetic, and irreverent.
Okay.
Cool. We have our characters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pronouns-wise, Angelica is she, her?
Mincemeat uses he, him.
Cool.
Cody uses he, him, although since it was in the one of the things discussed in like the list of stuff at the beginning, Cody would probably be at least condescending about pronouns in a very Joe Rogan-esque way. We don't have to deal with that if we don't want to.
Great, we have teen poltergeist Joe Rogan.
I do like that. You know, if that needs to be mm-hmm. pushed to the back, I understand also.
Yeah, we can always like push it back if needed. I believe...
Yeah, I do think it does have you set up with the In the Air Tonight game, which I kind of came up with how, you know, what Terry's been dreaming of recently. Terry has a recurring dream, a recurring nightmare that his hotel room fills with water and that he can't escape. That has led to this inexplicable, like, almost like a tic, where he just, not seemingly for any emotional reason or anything like that, but he will quite noticeably tear up frequently. Like, his eyes just start leaking tears. And again, he's not upset, but it's happening.
Cool. Does anyone else have a dream? And by anyone else, I mean me or young Joe Rogan.
I'm really regretting that comparison now, because that's gonna be that's gonna haunt me as long as I work with everybody here. Yeah, I have a dream. Cody has been having a reoccurring dream lately, where they're on a cruise ship on some other trip that they've taken before, and they. No matter what they do, they keep agreeing to meet up with family, but they just can't. They can never find their family. They can never do all of that. And they start becoming more aware. The more it happens, the more times they dream it, the more aware they become of the dream, that it's a dream. And the more the dream kind of responds by pushing them further into that their own sense of abandonment, which is kind of manifested as them trying both harder to be around people and at the same time being slightly ruder or cattier to people.
Okay.
I'm going to go the opposite. I think Angelica has been having perfectly pleasant, nice dreams. They're just nice. They're cute. She's like in a field somewhere. But the thing that people notice is that she's a little bit more wistful at the idea of leaving, even though she knows she can't. That mm-hmm. she usually is, because she keeps having dreams of just big open air and fields.
Okay.
Cool. Now that we've done that, someone can get to can choose one of the games, and then we'll go through that.
It is a little bit closed because it's only a you and your chosen partner play, but I do think that there is a way to bring others in, or, mm-hmm. you know, it does kind yeah. of. Who can it be now, I think, would be a good place to start, because I think for Mincemeat's first couple days, he hasn't left his room because he thinks he's being followed.
Who's your partner?
I think maybe Angelica comes up to, like, check in on him.
I'm done for that. Yeah, and if at any point you feel that Cody should show up, feel free. If not, you can choose the next game, and so on and so forth. So we kind of know how we got into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about each other? I feel like all I know about you is that you're a recent guest who has been kind of hold up in here. Is there anything else you think I would have picked up?
No, just that he seemed kind of shifty when he came through the door. That's about it. And came up to his room pretty quickly and has not left.
Is there anything you know about me?
I think maybe I'm just trying to think of, like, maybe like some at some point during the check-in process that, like, maybe that there's something specifically that Mincemeat picked up that would make him especially suspicious of you. But I'm trying to think of, you know, maybe it was just like, you know, he just kind of idly asked, like, hey, how long have you been working here? And
a while.
I think maybe he kind of pressed that, like, how long's a while?
Oh, you know, a couple days, couple months, couple years, sometime.
Yeah, and that made him incredibly, like, suspicious. And yeah, that's even, like, part of the reason why he has not left his room for days.
What do you want from each other? I think Angelica's is very simple. She wants you to enjoy the hotel.
Uh-huh.
See if you can, like, you're gonna be here. She knows you're gonna be here. Maybe forever. She wants you to enjoy the hotel and relax, get that weight off your shoulder. Maybe she's worried something will happen and you'll end up an anomaly because things happen and they're weird. But mm-hmm. she wants you to, like, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Mincemeat just wants to know that you're not, that you or nobody else there is affiliated with or in contact with the people who he's screwed over.
Perfect. Conducting the conversation. The person inside the room begins the conversation. So first say why you distrust the person, you already said that, and what you're most afraid might happen.
Okay. What I'm most afraid might happen is that somebody from this area, I'm just going to say that it's Kansas in the late 25th century. And I'm afraid that somebody from Kansas in the late 25th century is going to find their way to him.
And now we do challenges.
I think the first challenge that I'll throw out is we met before and you left me with a bad first impression. Throw.
You dig yourself deeper and I gain 2 coins.
Okay, so I've gained 2. So I think, you know, this probably just starts with a like a knock at the door, and which is greeted with a gruff who's there?
Hi, it's Angelica, the concierge. I just wanted to make sure you're doing okay.
Right.
We haven't seen you around.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go back and you can tell your friends from Kansas that I'm all good in here. I've got some microwavable meals and I'll be fine. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I am from a coastal region, but not Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's good to know. Tell your friends back home that I will not be leaving the room.
Okay, I think that's good to for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Challenge number two, you have two coins.
I think maybe you remind me of someone from my past who I distrust.
Okay, Trow.
All right. Oh. Okay. On Tails, you only further the comparison. I gain two coins.
Yeah, well, tell me what do I do, or...
I think that Mincemeat has a former partner in crime who kind of lost her nerve and left the grift. I think maybe it was somewhere around the incident in Kansas. She's talked Mincemeat down a lot from a lot of ledges, and you know, this conversation is just further reminding him of that.
Is there something she would call you, like a nickname or a word of endearment?
Yeah, I think maybe if she said honey, I think that would like set him off.
Yeah, and Angelica calls everyone honey, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, honey, please. There's so much nice things to do in the hotel.
Don't you honey me. And I think maybe that he like lets he accidentally calls her Mercedes. Right. Which I think then leads into for the third challenge. Once upon a time we were falling in love, oh, yeah. And now we're only falling apart.
The two again.
Wow.
Okay.
What are the odds?
Yeah. On Tails, there's nothing we can do. It's a total eclipse of the heart. And I think, like, catching himself on, like, uh-huh. calling her Mercedes, he just, like, I think he even, like, steps away from the door. And I think now is a perfect time for Cody to enter the scene. Like, maybe he's just, like, walking down the hall and sees this kind of going on.
Cody can sense the uncomfortable tension in the air, and nothing reminds me of the high school experience I'm not able to have anymore than that awful misnaming tension. And you just hear kind of like that like cracking sound as he comes in. He would stop just far enough away where he thinks he's not noticeable, but still it's a hallway, so it's clear that I'm just like maybe only 4.5 feet away, just kind of standing there leering at this situation.
Yeah, Angelica definitely sees you and doesn't say anything. It's like, I'll deal with Cody in a second. Final challenge, even though there's no way for me to get coins.
I think maybe you physically pursued me here, and I suspect you mean to attack me. And now maybe I even like hear the Fortnite sick kills video. and that's maybe like, so then I think what happens is like Mincemeat comes back up to the door. I think he kind of realizes that there is like a, you know, that I don't really have anything to be afraid of.
Maybe you look at the view hole and you see this tiny round lady.
Yeah. And then I think he just kind of opens up the door and he's like, all right, well, and then he kind of stops and looks to the right and he sees Cody.
You can hear the sound of audio peeking out of my headphones.
He's just like, hey, kid. Thanks. Is it Angelica?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see you down at the bar later.
Don't go to a bar too late. It's not the best place. Don't too late or alone.
I, kind of thrive in places that aren't the best place, but, thanks for the warning.
I get that.
Jesus. I think that was Mincemeat in character. Like, he's not allowed in the bar, right?
He's not supposed to.
Got it. Understood. Okay. Well, Do you have any of the mints you leave on the pillow?
Of course. And she like grabs from her breast pocket and gives you two mints.
As soon as you pull up the mints, I would just sort of glide on over and immediately kind of hold out a hand and not say anything, but look at you very expectingly.
I give you a mint.
Good.
All right. Well, okay, kid, what? Oh, my God. What is your deal? I guess name, but name first, then deal.
It's Cody. I'm here.
Yeah, Cody's around. Aren't you, Cody? Uh-huh.
Great. And then Mincemeat just closes the door.
Great. Yeah. You have more coins than I do, so I give up. This was good enough. I got you to open the door.
Yeah.
You say you might leave, so I give up and let you be.
Okay, cool.
Now for the next challenge.
I was thinking based off of what just happened, time after time be a really good option. With everybody here, Mincemeat actually being in the bar, I'm not sure exactly what Angelica would be doing there. Cody would be trying to run Hey Mister on Mincemeat. That like old school, that old scam that like teenagers do. Hey Mister, can you get me a drink?
Mincemeat is at the bar. You can tell he's struggling to be comfortable because he doesn't want to leave the actual bar part of it. Like, he doesn't want to sit at a table because he wants to be able to bug the barkeep pretty easily. But he's trying to make sure that he can just kind of hover over his drink while also having a decent view of the entrance to the bar. So he's sitting kind of awkwardly.
Even with your eye on the door, you would smell Cody before you see him. And then you just kind of hear behind you, like, this very damp voice whispering into your ear, just like a, hey, mister, you want to buy me a, can you buy me a drink?
I mean, Smeed is kind of startled and kind of turns around, like, hey, oh, okay. Hey, kid, oh, geez, you need me to buy you a beer? What's in it for me?
You know, you're helping out the youth. Helping me. Did not think that far ahead with this.
No, of course you didn't. But I'm always happy to help out an enterprising young scumbag. Hey, barkeep, one beer, whatever's cheapest.
Since the question of it is what part of the hotel's history or your own history are you now seeing, like it's changing, I figure it should be, at least in this context, it probably makes sense for it to be something with, like, the bar is changing.
Is the bar changing to, like, an old version of the bar? Or is it changing to a version that either of you would recognize?
What if it's becoming, because I think this may be, because like you mentioned something about like Cody's been having nightmares about being on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
And Mincemeat is having like water weirdness and stuff like that. What if we're like on a cruise ship bar, like... Mm-hmm.
You start feeling the water.
Mm-hmm.
There's a window behind the bartender, and it's like a port window.
I was gonna say like the there could be it has like at least when I read through it, I always it seemed very like wood paneling, very 70s-esque bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the wood paneling actually like unfolds itself to reveal like an outlook onto the ocean, like an outlook as you kind of sway back and forth being on that ship.
Mm-hmm.
The bartender turns around with your beer, and he is wearing, like, a very comical, like, sailor's outfit.
Perfect.
They got a badge on that says the name, their name and the country that they're from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, mateys.
Yeah. Mateys. Great. And I think Mincemeat steals a swig of the beer before handing it over to Cody.
Right.
So then what? Whoever the flashback is targeted to goes first. I'd say if it's a if it's full on cruise ship, I'd say that probably falls to me. We can modify these slightly, right? Because I like the idea of doing the opening the something that should be familiar to me, but instead of it being basically if I understand the rules properly, what I'd like to do is when you hand me the beer, I try to, like, secretly take a swig of it, and instead it tastes like some kind of, like, soda that you only like from ages 12 to 15 that, like, instantly brings up, one of the last, like, tangible, non-anomaly memories where I'm just arguing and, like, not for any good reason either. There's no, like, motivation outside of just a sense of teenage rebellion and of just I'm smarter and better with my family. As it's a drink they bought for me in a restaurant they paid for us to be in, that they took me to, for some sort of family event. And it's just me being, it's just Cody being just a general asshole in every possible way that he can be. And you can kind of, the audio of the argument would kind of start playing out of my headphones. So you can hear that same peaking, half-faded audio is mm-hmm. now reverting into the sounds of me, like, lecturing, you know, a Christian family member about how God's not real or... Stuff in that thing. General condescension. The pay gap isn't real. Stuff like that.
Good. You know, Mincemeat is very much like trying to just kind of look ahead and not really, but like he hears this and he turns to Cody and is like, hey, kid, what the hell are you listening to?
It's fine. Everybody has off days.
Is that a band?
Not any of the stuff that I listen to. And I only listen to good stuff, so. I don't know if you've heard of the Rolling Stones, but they might be a little bit before your time.
The sigh that comes out of Mincemeat could power a small nation for a year. It is. It comes from somewhere deep inside of him.
I like Rolling Stones and, like, Blink-182 and, you know, classic rock. That's what
I'm into. Yeah, great. Great, great. Mm-hmm.
It's musicianship.
Yeah.
I would try to talk to, like, my family and stuff about it, but they didn't really seem to like talking to me that much. So what do you do? What do you do, right?
Can't imagine why.
As, like, a semi-attempted comfort of mine, I kind of put, like, a hand on your shoulder, but I've got, like, that hyper-sweating... teenage stress, so you just like immediately feel your shoulder on your shirt dampen.
I think Mincemeat kind of flinches. He's like, Jesus, kid, what are you doing?
I don't know. So I'm sorry. Yeah, let me just turn the audio down. I try to turn and I kind of turn the little thing on the side of my headphones down. I guess who goes next? Everybody is in the scene, so somebody gets to do another one, right?
I think Angelica opens the door to the bar. Like, just doing her rounds, and she doesn't really plan to come in, just checking, and then she sees a couple things. She sees that the bar seems to have changed to be in a cruise, which, fine, whatever, it happens. She sees Cody is drinking from what looks like a beer bottle, so she goes to take care of that, but she also notices... I open a door to a room that's too familiar to me, and so I find an earlier version of myself. She and the crowd, there's like a crowd of people here which she knows aren't actually in the hotel, and she notices a pre-transition version of herself, and she like comes in, walks in, grabs the beer from Cody, and immediately leaves.
Hey!
No drinking!
It's very funny, except I did pay for that. But outside of that, yes, you know what? It's worth it.
It's worth it. You hear the sound of Rage Against the Machine being played for my headphones.
Does this feel like a good ending point, or did you all want to do another round of flashbacks?
I like that. I like that as an ending point. Cool. Perfect. Yeah.
How does the hotel remove you from the flashbacks? Abruptly or gradually?
I'd say it would just be the act of walking out of the room that removes the flashback. Mm-hmm. That once I step out of the room, I'd probably at this point, like, and in sort of anger and embarrassment, just stomp out of the room. And as soon as I do, as soon as you, like, leave the room, the mm-hmm. swaying from the ship just stops.
I do think Mincemeat stays in the bar. I think he's like looking down at the bottom of his glass, kind of shaking it, kind of looking at the ice, and then like he looks up and the bar is back to where it was before, and he just kind of shrugs, takes a drink.
Right. Do you bring back anything to your time with you? I have that bottle that I assume I like pour down the drain and throw in the trash from the past.
I don't think I took anything with me. I think I just, especially if I didn't get to keep the beer, I would have just,
yeah,
I've got nothing. It's just the,
mm-hmm,
just my own sense of failure.
Hell yeah.
That's a funny combination of sentences.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we ready to move on to the next one?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I think you get to pick this time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Okay.
Or a compensation over billiards. Billiards? I know. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, no, you're good.
I think Angelica is, you know, she likes doing stuff with her hands, so she's playing billiards. Goddamn, pool.
Yeah,
she's
pool.
She's playing pool.
Okay.
I assume Mincemeat is playing against her, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Cody was also once in on the action or is just around.
No, Cody would be definitely playing. Cody would be hyper competitive about this, but would also, mm-hmm, suck at the game, but doesn't want to get good. So there's just this anger at the fact that like both of you are almost certainly significantly better than Cody is.
Okay, interesting.
Do we notice anything about each other?
This is maybe like, you know, while we're kind of setting up for this, like this is maybe the time that Mincemeat's tick kind of shows up and you see like, mm-hmm, a not insubstantial amount of tears coming out of his eyes and he just kind of wipes them away. He doesn't look upset, but that is what's happening.
I think the thing y'all notice of Angelica is that she's not wearing her uniform. She's right now in her off hours. She's wearing a summer dress, probably because she wishes she was like a place where you would wear a summer dress, not a fucking pool hall with like the AC blaring. So she's wearing a nice like floral pink summer dress.
I'd say the two things you notice about Cody in this situation are, one, every time Cody like does any motion with the pool cue, you can hear the joints popping and break and like just popping and almost breaking every time the move happens and he bend over, you can just hear it just pop, 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 pop the back. It'd be that, and the other is that before, anytime it's not his turn to center, he kind of steps away a little bit and begins, and he's just like, says something like, I have to take a call or something like that, and it's very clearly just him watching YouTube videos of how to play pool well. And not internalizing any of the advice.
If I see this, we all choose a break question.
Mm-hmm.
How about, I hope you don't bring up blank, do you?
I like that one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good.
Okay.
I hope you don't bring up Mercedes.
Oh, fuck. No, I have to bring up Mercedes.
Oh, I would jump at weakness.
I think the moment you break, the moment you hit, I'm like, so... Who's Mercedes?
Yeah, who's Mercedes?
Mercedes, she's not important. Just a old friend of mine.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's nice. It's good to have friends.
Yep. Yeah, it was good to have a friend. Any of y'all gonna play the game, or should I?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I go. That
depends on what game you're playing, Mercedes, but okay. Go ahead.
I think she sets up, and I hope you don't bring the fact that we can't never leave up. Do you?
I think Mincemeat is just like, I noticed there weren't any fire exits here. Is this place up to code? You guys got regular inspections, anything like that?
There are processes that take care of things like fires.
Yeah.
The building kind of sorts itself out.
Okay. Interesting.
I just, you know, I'd be careful about going to sleep with a cigarette in your hand. Uh-huh. The building will be fine, but, you know, you probably wouldn't be. Hits the balls.
Cody would take like a different tact with it, if only because he's an asshole, and just go kind of ask you, just like, do you not have a family you want to spend time with? I always see you here all the time.
No, I do not have a family that I want to spend time with.
Oh, okay.
Moves around, hits another ball. Definitely not looking at Cody during any of that.
Yeah, that's fair. Cody would hope that you don't bring up, as I go to break and the cue like twists off the side of the ball, so the ball like only barely touches none of the, it effectively I didn't break. Hopes that you don't notice, you don't bring up his rage shakes.
I think Angelica doesn't, because she's familiar with you enough that knows that, like, it's just a thing. It's better not to bring it up.
Mincemeat notices, but is not really interested in, in anything beyond maybe just a straight comment of, like, hey, kid, you ever, ever thought about laying off the Mountain Dews? Looking a little jittery.
Fine, I'm fine. Just play your turn. Play your turn. I just gotta go over here and take a call real quick. You just hear just pool 101.
Take your call, kid. And then I will roll. Okay, so I get one question. I think Mincemeat is just somebody who enjoys the game of pool, and so it's got him feeling in a mood. And he asks Angelica, I'm feeling expansive. What do you want to know about me? In so many words, I think he's kind of more of just like, I think and maybe not even as verbal. I think he's just kind of acting a little bit more warmly.
Mm-hmm. I think she says something like, oh, do you play pool often or any other type of game?
Pool's a great way to kill time when the only place you got to be is a bar or some, crappy little town in the middle of nowhere. And, I've gotten pretty good at it.
I see that.
All evidence to the contrary, as he's just sunk one ball.
Oh, yeah, no, she's playing along. She's like, yeah, doing great. I'm going to ask you. Again, you Mincemeat.
Mm-hmm.
The lights flicker and we feel the hotel shift around us while we play. How do you react? I think, like, I sink one ball, and, like, the hotel starts moving around the same time I sink the ball, but I do not react to it.
Mincemeat kind of looks down at his drink, kind of shakes it and tastes it a little bit as if to testing it for unknown substances. I think he then just goes, so you're sure this place is up to code, right? We're not, kind of seems like things are, a little odd. Maybe it's just settling. How old is this building?
Oof. Very, very old.
Okay. Well, kid, your parents let you stay here, or?
You hear me kind of like half looking over my shoulder as I've got the, as you can see me like pantomiming the motions of how you're supposed to do a pool cue, except my right arm keeps spinning completely. Mm-hmm. My parents don't care about me. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I just got to get this. Okay, you both sunk one ball. Okay, yeah, I got this. Don't worry about my parents.
Okay, great.
They're off doing whatever.
Well, it's your turn, kid.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, we all suck.
Yeah. even with just the one, before I even ask anything, you just see, like, he immediately just, like, over-enthusiastically does, like, an arm pump and just, like, you just see, like, there's, like, full-on, like, Super Bowl touchdown-level celebration happening, but I'm trying to make it subtle so it just looks like I'm badly dancing at an emo concert. I mean, especially if I sunk a ball, I'd be feeling kind of confident, but I wouldn't be in the meanest of moods. So I would probably, he would go with the nicer option, if you will, of talking to Mincemeat and saying, I saw you crying earlier, and now I'm suspicious. How do you react when confronted?
I'm not. I got a, gland issue, a duct. Something's going on. I'm trying to see about finding a doctor, but my phone's been out.
Oh, we have a doctor. Room 426. You can just knock in. They'll take care of you.
And don't worry, I got a gland issue too. Huh. So we can I can relate to what you're saying.
Kid, what the hell did you just
It's fine. And I kinda pat you on the back and you just immediately just damp handprints forming along the back of your shirt. Like and not like just like weird puddles, but like full on real handprints.
Ugh.
I'm just trying to be supportive. I don't know. I'm just here to help you. If you got, body issues going on, I mean, that's one thing that can be happening.
Just play the damn kid game. Play the damn game, kid. Damn it. All right.
I believe it's your turn.
Yeah, I think it's your turn. If you want to keep playing, you can keep playing. Unless your gland issue's getting in the way.
No, we can be... We can be, sportman-like.
Mm-hmm. Sportman-like implies that you think you're gonna win.
Sportman-like implies that you're a man. Kid. And he's just, like, pointedly looking at Cody.
Cody would wipe with the back of his hand his forehead, and you just see... But as he does so, you see that sweat dribbles off the palm, bound, like, hitting onto his nose.
Okay, so I have now just rolled another heads. I think he leans down and sinks a ball, and he's just kind of shaking off the jitters. He's kind of feeling like he's not playing as well as he usually does, and he pulls back and he's kind of looking at Cody, and he says, we're crossing off the one. I share an opinion about someone else in the hotel. I can't help the feeling. I get kind of get the creeps from this concierge. What do you know about her?
I don't know too much. I saw her a younger version of her earlier, though. They seemed pretty cute, much cuter than they are now, but I don't know too much. She doesn't seem to care much about her family. Kid.
Yeah, great.
She doesn't seem to leave. You don't seem to leave, though, either. You barely leave your room.
Kid, I've only been here a few days, alright? Chill out, alright? Have your, don't you have, like, soda to be drinking or something?
Don't you... Shut up. Cody just kind of panics and kind of looks down because he can't come up with anything clever to say in the moment, and he knows he can't. He knows he's been bested.
Cool.
Hey!
I get two.
Cody would lose his goddamn mind when you sunk two balls.
While you two are talking about her, Angelica just, like, sinks two balls real quickly. I think the first one's gonna be looking at Mincemeat and going, I remind you of someone else who you once knew. Who is that again? And I think that's her being like, so, do I remind you of this? What was her name again?
Mercedes. Yes.
Mercedes. I knew it was with an L. I was thinking Maya, maybe? No, Mercedes.
Yeah. You something about your voice, maybe your eyes. I don't know. It's just a passing resemblance.
She exaggeratedly flutters her eyes.
There's like a moment of... appreciation, but then Mincemeat kind of shakes it off, and like the tears are like they there's a couple tears right at that moment, which he quickly wipes away, and he's just like, it's just passing resemblance. You're very different people, obviously. Yes.
Cody would kind of jump in when he sees you start to get tears, and would kind of just be like, oh, did you drive Mercedes out of your life?
That I did, kid. That I did. Kind of like the way that you did with, apparently, your family. So, great. We're all winners with lots of friends and family members who all love us very much. So how about you, put down your fucking YouTube video and play the goddamn game.
And my second one is going to be, I'm feeling nostalgic. What story from my past should I tell? And I think that's her going like, I don't know about friends and family. I'm good with what I have here.
Yeah? You met any other interesting characters from this? Not that I'm a portrait of fascination, but I figure you've been here a while.
Yeah, there was this one lady, real charmer, real sweetheart, real tall. She was nice, really gentle, spent a lot of time together. But then, the hotel, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I saw her.
She sounds nice.
She was. I believe it is Cody's turn. Two.
Cody loses his goddamn mind.
So does Mincemeat. Mincemeat is embarrassed.
I think Angelica does a little clap.
Yeah.
Good job.
You can see Cody as you do that just kind of like look over at you, trying his best to like, trying to decide whether or not he thinks what you're doing is condescending or sincere, then deciding that it doesn't matter. That he's so happy that he's like, I'll take any praise I can get. This is so rare, I am fine with it.
Mincemeat immediately like signals to the barkeep like he's tapping his glass and then just like chugging the rest of it.
Like, in just in my joy, I let it slip that this means that hopefully people will like pay attention to me. Like the necessity of that, of attention for my own self-worth. But I immediately try to cover it up and try to like cover up that statement, cover up that, try to play it off and try to be cool. Do you let me recover or hold it against me? And that's kind of, that'd be pretty open-ended to anybody.
Yeah, I think Angelica lets you recover, but I don't know if Mincemeat does.
Yeah.
Angelica definitely goes, well done, you're doing great. We're tied now.
And Mincemeat is just immediately like, congrats, kid, you learned how to play the game. It's, maybe a little hair on your chest.
I got a hair on my chest.
Yes. One.
Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to have more?
We?
I don't know. My dad always waxed. He always paid a lot of money. He had, like, a fancy masseuse that he would go to. Mom didn't like him too much. I'd say in that moment, too, in that moment of, like, confidence, mm-hmm. It's as generous, but I feel like it's more, like, ego generous. It's more, like, more in, like, I feel so good about myself, I want to share it, less in a true sense of, spirit of generosity. But I'm feeling generous, and I would probably, probably say to, if only because we've been kind of arguing and I'm feeling really good about myself, I would probably throw out to Mincemeat, you know, since things aren't really going your way right now with your car being stolen and with this game not going your way and with you having to drink so much right now, you know, what can I do for you? What favor do you ask of me?
Well, yeah, and the barkeep has now like left a whiskey on the rocks on the bar, but it's like across the way. He's like, mind grabbing me my drink? while he's like chalking up his cue.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. Cody would walk over and try to sneak a sip of it, but it's too strong for Cody. You just hear the immediate just like.
Mincemeat is laughing a lot at that.
Sweetie,
it's fine.
You need some water?
No, I've got a. I'll be okay. I hand you your drink, and the side that my palm is on is just soaking wet.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by IC Sheets, TP Huth, Elliot Peterson, and Sean Geddes, and edited by IC Sheets and Sean Geddes. Icy, they, them, can be found on Twitter at Icy New Year or at icynewyear.com. T or Tess, she or her or they, them, can be found on Twitter and Instagram at tphuth94. That's TPHUTH94. Elliot, she, her, or they, them, can be found at Elliot Yulen on Twitter. That's ELLIOT YLEN. Sean, any pronouns, can be found at The Crumpit on Twitter. That's THECRUMPIT. Mincemeat Terry Jackson was played by Lilith. Lilith, she, her, is a creature of the internet who likes to have fun and make podcasts. You can find her on her heavy metal actual play show, Ghost Puncher Core, and on Diet Coke and Lilith's House of Snacks. Cody was played by Jacob Cordes. Jacob, he, him, or they, them, is a professional GM who is currently ranked top 20 GMs on Start Playing. They write for numerous projects, including criticism for comicsbookcase.com, comedy pieces for Cheesy Gordita Bunch, and is the head writer for an upcoming sketch show, Young American News. They also performed in numerous short films and stage shows, including most recently with The Wits Shakespeare Southwest, a drunken Shakespeare troupe. Finally, they have also worked in politics, having organized for One Fair Wage and running the field program for Francisco Moya's re-election campaign. You can reach them on their Twitter at JACWeasel to talk about creative projects or leftism. Angelica was played by Fabi Garza. Fabi is a games writer, podcaster, sensitivity consultant, and the cutest bear girl in the world. She can be found at Fabi Garza on Twitter and as a member in Eidolon Playtest. Fabi Garza is FABBY_GARZA. This game is played using You Can Check Out Anytime You Like, But You Can Never Leave by Marn S. You Can Check Out Anytime You Like, But You Can Never Leave is a game for 3+ people and a surreal horror-flavored hack of Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands by Maggie and Vincent Baker. This game is available at marns.itch.io/hotel-california. Marn S., she, her, is a creator of LGBTQ web serials and many, many tabletop games. You can find her writing work on Card Zero Press. You can follow her on Twitter at Corpse Revivers. The music in this issue is Unpromised by Kevin MacLeod. A link to the license and his website will be in the show notes. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games, and other games by independent creators. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. For updates and more information, find us on Twitch and YouTube by searching for Moon Harbor Heroes or follow us on Twitter at Moon Harbor Cast. If you want to contact us, DM us on Twitter or email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thank you for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.